This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz riding shotgun. Tonight, we're talking U.S. Men's National Team in segment number one. I don't think there's anything else to cover here. We're going to learn a lot more when we get into the Gold Cup. So you can always go back and check this out on the Off the Woodwork podcast if you're just joining us. Let's get into Atlanta United here, Maddie. It was a 2-2 draw in Cincinnati over the weekend. You were depleted to begin with. You lost Tristan Muyamba in the halfway point of the first half. You had Will Riley on yellow card trauma by the end of the first half. And it was scoreless at halftime. And then all the chaos broke out in the second half. You find a goal, you concede twice, you find an own goal, and you walk out of there with a 2-2 draw that you probably would have taken when you walked in the door. But I don't know. I kind of agree with Ronnie Dyla. I'm happy with the point, but I kind of feel like there were a couple more there.
I agree with you. It's hard because you watch what happened in the game and you go in thinking you're on the road, you're up against Cincinnati, you know, and you're down 10 players. You're drawn in from the depths. You're trying to get players in, players out, you know, everything else like that. Obviously too, with the injury to Tristan Muyamba, you already need players and now you're just losing them as they go. But I think the performance, initially you look at it, you see 2-2, you think this is awesome. The way the game played out, I think you want something more. And I agree with Ronnie Dyla. I think you're kind of, it's almost like a what if. You're like, what if we did this? What if we did that? And it's just like, it could have been so much more. But I think looking at it, for me, I talked about it even too in post game afterwards with Abe Gordon. I loved the fight I saw from this team. You saw the fight that happened there. And I think if you were watching this game and you see the fight that they did to pull out and get an equalizer, I don't care if it was an own goal. You created the chance, and goals win games. Goals tie games. That's what happened. And I think you look at this fight that the team showed towards the end from specific players from all over the place, the way that they responded after Tristan Muyamba's injury, everything else, they responded. And I think that's something to take away from, especially when you look at just the overall performance. I think the fight of this team, that's going to be needed. And you need that going to the rest of the season.
I love what Ronnie said about getting a new player in terms of Will Riley and his performance. Riley is a guy that, you know, I saw as an academy kid playing with Atlanta United too, and thought he was really good. And it's kind of funny. I was part of an event today with our friends at Destination Sport, and they were hosting the group of young players from Premier League academies, part of the Premier League Futures group of guys who are, you know, some are trying to figure out what their next step is going to be after time in a Premier League academy, but not getting a pro contract. Others are still kind of in the process, and they might get that pro contract. And had a chance to speak to them, and had a chance to bring Tyler Ruthven, a former professional with Atlanta United 2, with the Atlanta Silverbacks, longtime pro, played with the New York Red Bulls, played in Sweden as well, played in the NASL. And he's a scout now for Atlanta United. And we're talking about Riley and his performance. We're talking with these guys, and some of them might go the college route. And Riley's performance, one, I felt better because Tyler was with me. I thought he was going to get subbed at halftime because he got that yellow card, had another hard foul, got the long talking to from the referee, and he handled it. He got through the second half. I don't think Mateusz Klich could have played 45 minutes. I don't know what the subs would have looked like if he subbed him at halftime. Don't think he really had the choice. But Ronnie also made it clear in the post-match comments that he really believed in Will getting the job done. And Tyler said it, and I don't have access to all of their metrics, the way that they scout players and measure players. It's way beyond what we're going to see with Opta. But I don't have a problem saying this. Tyler said it to these guys. Will's performance was one of the best central midfield performances by the metrics that they track that Atlanta United's had in years. It was that good overall in terms of interceptions, in terms of breaking up plays, in terms of recovering the ball. He was at a whole nother different level in his debut in Major League Soccer and playing 45 minutes on a yellow card. So, yeah, you got a new player in the group because that competition that we've talked about with Bartosz Lisz, with Mateusz Klich, with Jay Fortune, with Tristan Muyamba, is going to be out for a little while with a knee injury, not sure how long yet. Well, now it's five. It's Will Riley because he was that good in this match.
I highlighted just how impressive and how like stacked you are in the midfield. You know, we look at our center backs, we look at the defenders as well. We're stacked there. You've had a solid midfield core for so long with Sleash, with Tristan, with Jay, with I'm blanking on all the names. Oh my gosh, with Riley now. I mean, you have such a solid core there. And you have this, and it's just, it was brilliant to see a young Will Riley. I think the story too, you know, being with the club, being a part of the inaugural homegrown class, the academy class, he goes through, he gets an opportunity with the twos, then he goes off to Stanford, and then he comes back to play for his home club. And he goes out and puts on a performance like that in his MLS debut. And he didn't just come off, he didn't just, you know, take a back seat and was there for the ride. He was in the driver's seat.
And he got better as the day went on.
And it was so brilliant to watch him. And also, I think what even stands out, you mentioned it, handling being on a yellow card that early on in the game.
Yeah.
It takes like maturity and skill that even some players who are veterans don't have. When you're able to go out there and you're on an early yellow card and you're still able to hold on and be composed and play smart and also continue to help, absolutely brilliant.
Are those dings like really for good comments?
I think they are. It's every time I make a good point, it just happens. It's great.
It just keeps going. It's funny. Like, this is a situation where in this game, we had to see Alexei Maranchuk play deeper as well with everything going on. And he played really well. And well, it's Alexei. So it's like people say he either played really well or he played really bad. It's one or the other. Nobody ever thinks Alexei has a 5 out of 10 game. It's either a 2 or an 8. Alexei had to play an 8 because you didn't have another 8. You had no more 8s because Klich couldn't play more than a handful of minutes. And Riley was already there and Muyamba got hurt. So Alexei does the job for you. You're not putting him into that mix in the double pivot because you already have 5 other guys competing for time there. You need him in the 10 spot. Don't overthink it. people, please. Just don't overthink it. You're in a situation now with Atlanta United this week where you're going to get guys back from international duty, but it's going to be kind of on a staggered schedule. You've got guys playing tomorrow night in South America, in CONCACAF play, like Jay Fortune, Luis Abram, Efrain Morales. You've got somebody like Bartosz Schlisz, who played his last game today. You've got Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan, who played their last games during the break today. You've got Dominic Chongqui, who probably won't factor into the first team at this stage, but you never know. Caden Moore, they're finishing up their time with the USU-18s tomorrow. So you're going to get guys back. Guys have, some have played a lot of minutes. Some have played hardly any minutes. You're not probably going to get the whole group back until Thursday. And some guys won't be fully participating on Thursday's training session. So it's another difficult week for Ronnie Dyla and figuring out how to make it all work. And you've got NYC come into town, a team that has been above average. I mean, I think that's fair to say. Like, they're a team that I think we're going to see evolve under the first-year manager, Pascal Jensen. A very strong team with Maxi Morales in terms of veteran leadership. A team with a great goalkeeper right now in Matt Freese. He made 5 saves to earn a scoreless draw on the road in Columbus on Saturday night, where Columbus was missing a ton of people. NYC was missing Alonso Martinez with the Costa Rican national team. They'll get him back for the weekend. It's a team and a game at home where, with what you've had lately with Atlanta United, it's game 6. So let's be aware of that. 6 of 34. But every game you play and you don't pick up 3 points, that means you need to go find some later. And your later start to slip away over time. It's not a game where there's a ton of really intense pressure on you here. But it's a game where I think you're looking to see this team build on what could be a performance to build some momentum on in Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of positives out of the Cincinnati result that you should carry into this.
A lot of positives. And one thing that I want to point out from what Ronnie said in his post-game press conference is he talked about, you know, the consistency level and, you know, losing shape and losing discipline and losing concentration in those moments you saw against Cincinnati. And it's not from the first goal. It's not from the free kick. It's what happened afterwards. That's what's important about it. You give up the goal, you lose concentration, you lose the shape, you allow for Evander to then get the opportunity to get the shot. You lose the focus there. But they did respond well. They responded well after that because it was a wake-up call for them. Now you just got to carry that on because there's going to be times where you're going to have 3 goals up and it's going to be 3-0, but then they're going to find another goal again. You cannot lose that focus. And that's what Ronnie's talking about. But, you know, it's the fight back as well. It took getting a second goal, but they got it. And now you can build from that and use that in other games going up against NYC. And they're a team that is known for late comebacks. We've seen it how many times this season? Like, it happened, I think, 2 weeks ago back at home. Late goal in the 90th plus stoppage time, and it's tied up. That's a team that can hurt you. It's a team that slowly is under the radar. And that's where it needs to carry over. You're seeing so much improvement on the offense. You're seeing so much improvement all over the place. It's just, I think, keeping the shape, keeping consistency, keeping discipline, especially in those moments where, hey, maybe you lose a turnover. Maybe you get a foul that's a little bit outside the 18. Maybe you give up a goal. How do you respond after that? That's what's important.
Yeah, the response, I think, is really important in this one because there's always a concern. And, you know, when you've watched this team play for as long as I have, and as long as you have, and as long as many of the fans have, you know, look, we get PTSD about things. I think when you see what happened in Cincinnati and you get the goal and then you concede twice, the first one's a deflected free kick. I mean, there's really not much else you can do. But then you give up the second one and it's, yeah, we've been here before. It's going to be another decent performance that didn't get enough to show for it. And then you get punished and you go home with nothing. But that's not what happened. You saw something different in the group, a depleted group, a tired group at that stage. That needs to be how the feeling is within the group going forward, that they always have that idea that they can go rescue it. They can go get something out of it. you've got to have, I think, this ability, and I've talked about it a lot this season, and I don't want to rehash it about the idea of being wide open and having control. I want to go a step further in it, and I think it's something that has been a part of the issue with Atlanta United this year. They are so up for it and really playing well in the first half and almost running themselves into the ground a little bit in the first half. And I think some of the running numbers are showing that there's a pretty big disparity first half, second half. And you don't want to not run. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But you've got to do one of two things here. You've got to, when you are in that zone, and anybody who's played sports understands it, when you're feeling it and everything's going well and you've got the energy, you got to capitalize on it. Or if it's not there, and look, sometimes it isn't. And I can't tell you how many games I've watched in my life where you see a team doing a lot of good things and you just have that feeling they're not going to score a goal here. We could play for 3 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours. They're not going to score. You've got to have that idea in some of those moments where, all right, it's not happening. Let's slow it down. Let's grab a little more control here. And let's also conserve a little bit of energy for the second half and not run ourselves out where it's not happening for us right now. It's a balancing act. And look, that's hard. That's hard stuff to manage. And it's something that this team, I think, is going to have to find that way to do as you get ready to host NYC on Saturday night. Pregame coverage will start at 6:30 with Maddie and Abe. Kickoff will be at 7:40 with Mike Conti and myself. And we'll talk to Garth Lagerwey about midway through the Five Stripes countdown on Saturday night from the Benz. But coming up next, it's going to be the 3-4-3. Y'all know how these shows end by now. It's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. We'll see what makes Madison Cruz smile about the game that she loves so much right after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.